Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. You are about to hear a Kingdom Living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and His Kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
I am in Matthew 26 and 29. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Hallelujah. I want to talk to us on the subject of the kingdom meal. The kingdom meal. Meal as in food. The kingdom meal. What we popularly refer to as the Lord's Supper. You know, Jesus Christ makes a statement to us from the upper room. The reason why I'm talking to us on the kingdom meal is because Jesus sees the Lord's Supper as a meal not just for the earth, but also for His heavenly kingdom. The reason is that for the first time, Jesus takes His apostles, for the first recorded time, He takes His apostles to the upper room. And in the upper room, He institutes for them and explains to them what we call the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. Hallelujah. And the reason why it's a kingdom meal is because it was first instituted by the law of first mention. It was first instituted in the upper room. The upper room is a place which is elevated, and it's talking about an elevated life, a life that is above the normal life on the earth. The normal life that majority who are on the Broadway are on. It takes them to the upper room. And He instituted for the first recorded time and really explains to them what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. And in His statement, when He had taken the bread and the wine with them, He tells them something that, look, from today going, I will not take of the fruit of the vine again until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That makes it a kingdom meal. That makes it a meal that is not just relevant for our life as humans, say on earth, but also for heaven. It's a heavenly meal. It's a meal that belongs to the kingdom. Why is the Lord's Supper, or what I call the kingdom meal, why is it that important? It is important because it was food that made human beings fall in the first place. I want us to think critically about it, because when we go to the beginning and we see how the whole thing started, then you get to understand the wisdom of God in ministering to us the kingdom meal. Because in the beginning, mankind fell because of food. So, because God puts the solution in the problem, and that is His style, He puts the solution to the fall also in food, if you like. Hallelujah. So, it is food that restores us to kingdom life. And the first time that the word bread by the law of first mention is come across in the Bible, it is something which is negative. The Bible said that God told humans that from the sweat of your face you will eat bread. That is the first time the word bread appears in the Bible. And the first time that the word wine appears in the Bible, it's also something negative, because the same book of Genesis says that Noah became a farmer and he brewed some wine and he drank it and became naked in his tent. By all standards, drinking of alcohol is a negative event. So the very first time wine is mentioned in the Bible, it is associated with something negative. But look at the wisdom of God. God takes two negative things. He takes the bread, and then He takes the wine, And together, he brings something positive out of it. Just because he always puts the solution in the problem. That is why Jesus had to also come. Because human beings sinned, Jesus had to come in a form of man and conquer sin. Because the solution to sin is in humans also. Hallelujah. Humans. That is why Jesus Christ had to become a man. And he overcame the devil as a man, not as God. He overcame sin as a man, not as God. That is why he is a hope for us. That we can also, as humans, overcome. Just as he did. Now, the very first time in the Bible where bread and wine is combined is in the book of Genesis chapter 14, where we get to come across somebody who is very mysterious. His name is called Melchizedek. Mysterious because the Bible says that he doesn't have a mother, he doesn't have a father, he doesn't have a beginning, he doesn't have an ending. He is so shrouded in mystery, but he is the one who appears. And then he takes the bread and then he takes the wine, which has a negative connotation, and out of it, he brings something positive out. I must quickly make you to understand that Melchizedek is actually Jesus Christ who appeared. You know, his name is mentioned only twice in the Old Testament, in Genesis and in the book of Psalms, Psalm 110. But this mysterious person, who is actually our Lord Jesus, takes two negative things and makes it positive. And look at verse 18. This was when Abraham had come from battle. He had just conquered five kings. Can you imagine that? Abraham had conquered five kings. And so you must know that he was very tired. He wasn't a nation. Spiritually, we know that he was a nation. But he wasn't a nation. He just used 318 people trained in his house and went against five nations and conquered them and rescued Lot, you know. And so Abraham was weary. Abraham was tired. And Melchizedek, or Jesus, came in a form of this king of Salem, Melchizedek, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." And Abraham gave him a tithe of what he had taken from the battle with the five kings. So I want us to see Jesus appears and then he administers the bread and wine to Abraham. Because as far as God was concerned, what Abraham needed at the time was for him to recuperate, was for him to renew his physical strength from the battle. Hallelujah. And you will see in the progression of God's dealings with Abraham that it was not just a means of renewing his physical strength because he was weary from the war with the five kings. It was also a means of renewing his potency as a human being. Because in chapter 15, after the conquest of the five kings, Melchizedek had ministered the bread and wine. Abraham is asked by God that he is certainly going to receive a child at his old age. And he is told by God to go and look towards the heavens because his children were going to be like the stars of the heaven. And the Bible says, as a result, Abraham believed. Ladies and gentlemen, the appearance of this mysterious man who has no beginning and no ending, and who has no mother and who has no father, is telling us something, that through the bread and the wine, we are able to receive not just temporary strength from our weariness, but also strength for the long term, potency for the long term, for our dead bodies. Hallelujah. Is able to renew us so that we become young again. Once again, I want us to see the heavenly nature or the kingdom nature of what we call the Lord's Supper. Because sometimes you would think that it is just for people who are struggling spiritually. Not necessarily so. It is not only for that, but it is also for people who are victorious. Abraham was victorious, like I just described to you, conquering five nations with only 318 men was a miracle in itself. It was like the Six-Day War. It was like angels joined to fight these five kings. It was a wonderful, wonderful victory. But on top, Abraham needed the bread and the wine. Hallelujah. Because it is a means of remembering our victories. Taking the bread and the wine is a means of remembering how victorious we are. Because Jesus' victory is our victory. So Jesus says that, do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. Remember that I conquered death. I conquered the flesh. Remember, my victory is your victory. So, when we are very victorious and we have gotten breakthroughs and we have gotten wealth untold, it is a time to take the Lord's Supper or the kingdom meal to remind us that it is not our strength that gave us the victory, that gave us the miracle over the five kings. It is rather the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross that procured us the wealth that Abraham had from the five kings, that renews our strength in the short term and also in the long term. Hallelujah. That is why it is a kingdom meal. If it is just to make us physically strong, my sister, then it is not a kingdom meal. Then when we go to the kingdom, in his father's kingdom, we should not take the Lord's Supper. But here is Jesus. For the first time in the upper room, he administers this kingdom meal to them and tells them that, look, when you come to heaven, when you come to my father's kingdom, we will take it. In other words, when we have won the victory and we have been raptured, there is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we are going to remind ourselves that it is not by our might that we conquer the five kings on earth. It is not by our power that we got all this booty, that we had the wealth of the wicked transferred to us. It is not by any intelligence that we have. It is by the bread and the wine. Hallelujah. It is by the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. But I want us to see Abraham as representing all of us in the kingdom system that Jesus Christ reintroduced to us. Because in the book of John chapter 8 verse 56, the Bible tells us that after Jesus Christ had ministered to this, look at verse 56, John chapter 8, verse 56. The Bible says that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day. The Bible says that Abraham saw it and was glad. In other words, Abraham experienced the days of Jesus Christ bringing the kingdom back on earth to us. So I want you to see Abraham always as a picture of all of mankind. Because typically, Abraham, we know, he lived in Mesopotamia. We know that he belongs to the Middle East, you know. And the Middle East is a unique place because it is a hybrid. People from the Middle East, they are a hybrid between the two extremes of humans. Like, if you take black people, you know, and white people, the Middle East are the people who bridges us up. They are neither black, neither are they white, but they are in between. They stand for all white people. They stand for all black people. They stand for all of mankind, in other words. And that is, I believe, why many things concerning humanity originates from the Middle East, you know. And the Middle East becomes something like the epicenter, the action point for whatever thing God wants to do to all humanity, irrespective of the extremes, whether black or white.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So, I want us to see Abraham like that. If we should develop this, if we should develop this further, you will understand that when God, for the first time, introduced bread or mentioned bread and associated it with labor or a curse, so to speak, not a curse on humans, but a curse of the earth. When for the first time he said, from the sweat of your face you eat bread, you must see that God was, as it were, touching the physical aspect of man, physical aspect, our body from the earth. He curses the earth for man's sake, you know, and he is touching the physical aspect of man. When for the first time wine is mentioned in the Bible and associated with negativity, Noah drinking wine, what happened was that Noah cursed a section of dark-skinned people, a small section of dark-skinned people, like one fourth or so, you know, cursed Canaan, cursed him to what? To servitude. When Melchizedek, who is our Jesus, took the cursed element that is associated in the mind of humanity as a whole, and a section of dark-skinned people as something negative, when he took it and he gave to Abraham, who is representing, he's a hybrid, ministering to both dark-skinned people and white-skinned people, God is telling us in this act, prophetically, in this book of beginning, that by the blood and the wine, by the cross of Jesus, God was going to terminate every curse physical on mankind. Hallelujah. On the whole of mankind. On a session of dark-skinned people. Because Ham brought forth to four children or so, Phut, Mizraim, Cush, and Canaan. Right? And only Canaan out of the four was cursed to servitude. But through the, through the bread and the wine, God breaks the curse. Because you know what Melchizedek said. Let's go back to the strange man and the strange thing that took place to this man called Abraham, whom I have proved to you represents all of mankind. He's a hybrid. Says verse 19, and he blessed Abraham, that is he, Melchizedek, blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. So Jesus takes the bread and the wine and he says that humanity bring a rep, so to speak, and the rep is Abraham, and he says that Abraham, you are blessed. Hallelujah. So I want us to see right from the inception that the kingdom meal is supposed to bring to us our physical lives blessings from the kind of curse that we may have had, because the earth was cursed and because a section of dark-skinned people were cursed. Hallelujah. Wonderful. It's exciting. It's powerful. And do you know what happened? The Bible says that, oh, hallelujah. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. Gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. When did the blessing come? When did Abraham give to Melchizedek? Was it before blessing or after the blessing? When did he pay his tithe? Was it before the blessing or after the blessing? Obviously, it is after the blessing. I hope you can see that. Wow! That should tell us something about the tithe. That the tithe, first of all, if truly the days we are living in, Abraham lived in those days, the kingdom days that we are living in, Abraham lived in those days, then we must look at the way that tithing was administered in that era of Abraham. He is our father, and we want the blessing of Abraham, not so. So we must look at how he administered tithing. He gave it not to induce blessing. He gave it because he had been given bread and wine, and blessing had been pronounced on him. Afterwards, he said, Melchizedek, wait, come for tithe. Hallelujah. It was not to induce blessing. It was not to buy blessing. It was because he was blessed. Hallelujah. There is nothing we can initiate. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, Jesus, he is the one who decided when we didn't think that we need a savior, he decided he will come. It was God's plan to bring his son. So God is always the initiator. And everything that we do is in response to the blessings of God that we have by the cross, by the administration of the bread and wine, and by the spoken word of blessing upon Abraham, possessor of the world, because he stands for the whole of humanity. If you give tithe, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me go a little deep. You see, if you give tithe because to induce a blessing, that if you don't give, a certain blessing will not come into your life, you have stepped down from the kingdom life to the law. Tithing existed under the law. Under the law, humans were to give, put something on the table, and God will, as it were, reciprocate. Look upon what you have brought and say, okay, because you have brought me an offering, I will also do something for you. But in the kingdom system of Christ in which we are, that Abraham lived in, ladies and gentlemen, blessing or tithing is not giving to induce a blessing. Tithing is giving because we have been blessed. And out of that blessing, we take from that blessing to thank God. Hallelujah. Of course, there is no way you can give to God without God giving back to you. There is no way it can happen. But don't let it mentally draw you. If we have time, I'll teach you something else. But don't let it mentally draw you to operate under the law, where you give it because you want God to bless your children. You want you to be a delightsome land. You are already a delightsome land, not because of the tithe, but because of the bread and the wine, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, because of what that mysterious man, Melchizedek, came and he took the two negative things and then he put them together. And for the first time, the thing became a blessing on the whole of mankind. Hallelujah. Wow. Wonderful. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let us see how the body of Jesus restores our aging, weary bodies. Hallelujah. Abraham, one of his crucial blessings was that His natural body was performing like a young person. You know that apart from having Isaac, he had five other children, six or so, with Keturah. And they were all dark-skinned people, you know. He had them. So God made him so strong. You're all adults. You know what I'm talking about. He made him so strong. And that is a picture, ladies and gentlemen, of how God can reproduce in us youthfulness. Hallelujah. For our aging bodies. Because sometimes we have a picture of God, which I think we have to get more word along that line to erase it from our heads. Because human beings, the fall made us think that growing old is a blessing. You see, you grow old. And by growing old, I'm talking about physically looking old. Certainly you grow old in a sense that your age will grow. You have more age, you know. But you must not look it. And let us all covet this blessing of Abraham. We must not look it. Hallelujah. God has got much more for us. God wants us to be old, but he wants us to be young looking. Because God himself is the Ancient of Days. But don't get a picture that it means that God has got wrinkles. It means that God's eyes, they are full of water, you know. What else? God's flesh is flabby, he's bald. You know, he's bald, and you know, God is weak. It's not so. It's not so. It is sin that makes our eyes and our skin and our look the way it is. But if we should take the kingdom meal, ladies and gentlemen, with this understanding that God established in Abraham, that he's supposed to renew you physically, physically, because the bread was a negative picture about our physical lives on earth. When he said, in the sweat of your face, you eat bread. God was touching the physical aspect of us. That is why when you take the kingdom meal, it touches your the physical aspect of your body. Where there is sickness, it brings you health. Where there is old age, it brings you youthfulness. Hallelujah. Paul said that if we take it discerning the Lord's body, then we will not die prematurely. We will not be sick. Hallelujah. And we will not be weak. If we take it discerning the Lord's body. So we always have to discern God. You always have to discern Jesus. When you are taking it, discern means that don't look on the surface of the thing. Like every human being, get to the upper room. It's a kingdom meal. And discern means that you go beyond what the ordinary person and see his body. See Jesus' body, that although he is the Ancient of Days, yet he is youthful. His body is youthful. And when you take it, it renews your youth. Hallelujah. That is why in the book of Psalm 105, verse 35, let's jump to Exodus 12. In Psalm 105, verse 37, the Bible tells us that there wasn't a feeble person among all their tribes. Talking about the 3 million people that Bible experts say moved out of Egypt that night. Ladies and gentlemen, look at the power. You see, this is also the first time, you know, that the kingdom meal is administered to Israel as a nation, the first time. Now, it's recorded in Exodus chapter 12. I want you to see something about it. The people of Israel were already the people of God. They were already the children of God. They were already the apple of God's eye. They were already the inheritance of God. But God tells them that I am going to do something in the land of Egypt. Now, Egypt, if you must know, is talking about the religious order. And he says that I am going to take you out of the religious order. Let's flip our Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to take you into a kingdom system. And God tells them that if they were going to obey him, he was going to make them enjoy the kingdom system. Okay? Look at 19 verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That is us now. That is us now. Under the kingdom system of Jesus, we are a kingdom of priests. The Bible puts it this way. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It could not be accomplished by Israel. Do you know why? Because Israel did not keep the covenant of the bread and the wine. At this time, the Ten Commandments had not been given. It was given in Exodus 20. This is Exodus 19. And in Exodus 12, if you read the story up to 19, you will see that God is trying to institute for them the Passover. That you have to observe it wherever you go as a memorial. Observe the killing of the lamb and smear it on the doorpost, which is another symbol of the kingdom meal. It's wonderful, powerful. So, Egypt is talking about the religious way of living. It's like the ground floor type of life. And God says, I am elevating you. Now, if you are going to do this Lord's Supper well, I am going to lift you to the upper room, and you are going to live a kingdom life on earth. You are going to be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation and a special people more than every other human being on the earth.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.